Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The show is about to begin.
Welcome to the podcast, Conscience That Made Us. Interviews and stories, tales from the bus. We love taking you back to when it all went down. The greatest live shows and that cheering crowd sound. It's Concerts, Concerts That Made Us, ConcertsThatMadeUs.com.
Hey, this is Nick.
Yo, this is Turner.
And you're listening to Concerts That Made Us.
Take a slow stroll by the seaside, thinking about my love. Watch the sunset over the tide, thinking about my love. Never want to deceive you, flow another way. Keep the faith and be true to your heart. Always in the melody, she keeps calling, calling. My heart skips a beat, I'm falling. The way you make me feel, thinking about my love, dreaming about my love. Solo cruise, not minding my time, dreaming about my love. Feel so good and everything's fine, dreaming about my love.
Dreaming.
Never want to hurt you, flow another way. Always you're so pleased to keep me. My heart is here to stay. And the melody, she keeps calling, calling. My heart skips a beat, I'm falling, falling. For your love, your love. Love the way you make me feel, thinking about my love,
dreaming
about my love. Locked down in the city with my love, with my love, with my love. Locked down in the city, lights out. You flow another way. Keep the faith and be true to your heart. Always in the melody, she keeps calling, calling. My heart skips a beat, I'm falling, falling. For your light, your love, and mine's so real. I love the way you make me feel,
thinking about my love,
dreaming about my love.
Dreaming, we're dreaming.
Locked down in the city with my love, with my love, with my love. Oh, locked down in the city, lights out.
Nick and Turner, you're very welcome to Concerts That Made Us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having you, man.
It's great to have you guys now. I'm looking forward to diving into your music over the next bit. So the Misty Cliffs released their debut album on the 9th of February. Take us behind the curtain. Share some details we might not have heard.
Okay, well, it's been a long time coming. We've had quite a lot of setbacks in getting this album out. But sort of throwing back to just before COVID, before lockdown, I was busy writing material with a friend of mine, actually, Darren Katz. We're working together. He's a great lyricist, and we were sharing lyrical ideas. And just a cool thing just to collaborate, you know, and connect with like-minded people. And we ended up writing like 12, 13 tracks. And we started, like, he's not a musician, but I was initially working with Nick's cousin, James, and as a drummer, he was a drummer. So we were kind of working on the tracks, and then he introduced me to Nick. And then the three of us got together and we started working on the tracks. And just like very soon, we developed these tracks into nice tight set. And we're on the verge of, you know, signing a deal. And then COVID hit and James left the band. And what was that? Other setbacks. Our initial engineer and producer also left. So it was just like this whole process of trying to get things sorted. But then fortunately, Nick's brother was in the wings, and he ended up coming on board. And it's just been like clean sailing since then. It's been a wonderful experience, and finally got back into the studio to finish up everything just last year. And yeah, working with Matthew Fink, who's a phenomenal producer in Joburg, but doing a lot of a sort of remote approach to it. Like I don't think we've ever spent any time with, I know Nick's met Matthew, but I've only chatted to him over the phone. And so he was doing all the work up in Joburg at the studio, and we were tracking in Cape Town and sending things back and forth. And eventually he's almost like a fourth member. He's created a wonderful, you know, new edge to the sound, our sound, unexpected little additions to the mix and the production. And yeah, and that's how kind of where now we're sitting with this album. And yeah, super stoked. We're ready to do another one.
Right. Where did the inspiration come from for this this record?
Nicholas?
I mean, I think Tony, you're probably better placed than I am to kind of talk about the lyrical inspiration. I think musically we come from acoustic, I'd say sort of indie rock and acoustic based music. I was playing for many years in a band that did a lot of basically English folk music and Americana type music, a lot of three-part harmony. And I was working with my brother Matt in that project as well. So we've been singing together since we were young. And I think bringing that influence into Nick's his songwriting style has just like clicked. It really worked with his songs. And although it did take a different direction when Matthew Fink came on board, we found like a gel, you know. We just found this like really amazing mix of our musical backgrounds that connected super well. And we're like, you know, Nick is like an extended member of my family. I would consider him like the cousin I never had, just because we've just clicked, you know. And maybe you can share a bit more in terms of like inspiration musically or lyrically where the songs came from. I know there's a bit of heartbreak in there, a bit of love lost, love gained.
Yeah, it's all like those, you know, sort of universal themes that you know are quite, you know, the subject's quite present in the mix, like with seasonal changes, both internally, externally, and also the song's about grief, you know. It's about loss, like actually, you know, people, you know, how to connect with people who have passed on. And yes, there is this theme of breakup. There is this quite a few. So there's even a song called Breakup. And yeah, so there's quite a lot of that. But that's it's strange. Like even in my past, like the previous songs, most of my stuff I've written comes from those times when I'm feeling like miserable. Well, especially like because of loss of some sorts, you know, like especially when it comes to heartbreak. Not that it will always bring a subject, the subject will be heartbreak, but it's a quite a creative space to be in, you know. But obviously not a pleasant place to be in. So there is that the silver lining when, you know, your girlfriend dumps you, you go, hey, okay, you can write an album now.
Stoked.
It's a good sign.
Sorry for your pain, love your pain.
But and also with that the music, the style of me, I mean, I've always been prior to this I did a solo album. And prior to that I was in you know numerous bands since the late 90s in South Africa, and always try to be quite eclectic in the sound and the feel of, you know, like the Mystic Cliffs, as well as my previous bands and my solo album, there's hip hop, there's a style of South African music called Guma. Very, very South African, very Capetonian style that sort of seeps in there. And there's, you know, a bit of jazz vibes and quite a reggae feel as well. But also with the nice thing about going back to Matthew Fink, he managed to like get this nice, despite all these different genres, you know, there's like a nice cohesive sort of sound across the whole album. He's managed to do that, so there's like a nice little difference. Also, this is different to what I've done in the past, where we dipped into the electronica world, like that whole element, trying to be like sort of current. I mean, I've always been more of a, much like, well, just like Nick and Matt, like, you know, more on the folk scene. I've also just, I mean, I only always been an acoustic guitarist. And through this album, I've now stepped into the sort of the electric realm and exploring that, you know, which is something I've never done before. But a bit of a lazy guitarist. I just like just bring my acoustic guitar along, plug it in. But now I've got a
one guitar channel.
It's a DI, but now it's like, oh God, I've got to take take an amp along. Oh, good.
Right. And when it comes to tracks on the album, is there any specific tracks that have special meaning for you guys?
For me, there's a track called Out of Season, which it is one of the slower, gentler tracks, I guess. But the first time I heard it, Nick had actually, I don't know if he did a recording. I think I heard it as a recording first and then saw it live, but he got my mom and my aunt to arrange harmonies on it. And so I heard that song. He brought it to them before he brought it to the band.
Right.
And there was just something really, my mom and her sister Caroline have spent their whole lives singing together, and there's just something really special about that. And I always heard that song, and I was like, I'd dig to sing that with Matt. And of course we got the opportunity to do that on the album, and there's just something really, I don't know quite what it is. It's a really stunning song. It doesn't necessarily fit everything else. We had to have it on there. It's a very special number.
Yeah, you know, kind of going back to those roots, like it's very like, you know, sort of folky roots, you know, which I just have to say that the Blundell family, which is now Nick's family, they're the musical dynasty in South Africa, and they have, it's been like just, I also work with their uncle. So my previous album, I still tour it a lot and perform it a lot. As Nick Turner, well, I have a trio with my friend Sculpture Bear and Johnny Blundell, who's Nick's uncle. So I'm quite entrenched in the whole Blundell scene. And their grandfather, just correct me if I'm wrong, but he was like, Keith Blundell was like an icon of the whole English folk scene in South Africa. I mean, absolute legend. So it's just been such a privilege working with yeah, just with the whole family.
It sounds it. And any specific tracks for you that have meaning?
I'm super quirky here, so like I really enjoyed the there's a song called Screen Savior, which is actually we're putting a video out soon for this particular track, and it's an ode to your cell phone. So it's like a song about, you know, how obsessed and how completely engaged we are in this alternative world, and we just can't escape it. And I need that when we perform in the album, I can't take everything too seriously, you know. We have to have that lighthearted edge to it. So I almost enjoy the lighthearted songs, you know. Like, I mean, even going back to Out of Season it's a huge meaning to me. But I mean, when I performed that once, I was actually, I couldn't even hold, because it's got to do with a bit of mental health, and you know that it delves into that subject. So it gets quite, yeah, I get quite emotional. And then, you know, in the moment, I mean, I think when I sang that song once, I was at the Alma Cafe, that great spot and wonderful venue in Cape Town. Actually owned by John O'Tate and his family. I think you interviewed John O.
I did, yeah.
And you know, John O and Nick Orson bands together, with Hatchet Man. Anyway,
yeah, that's the group, Yeah.
So, but then I was literally like, yeah, it's like I started talking about the song, but then I just went, okay, I'm going to start the song, because like the taps start opening, and then I get very emotional.
Right.
I'm fine either. Don't worry about it. I'll keep it together. Each song's of different meaning, but currently I'm quite enjoying the, you know, that particular track. But yeah, it's called Screen Savior. Yeah.
I getcha. It's probably a bit of an impossible question now, but what do you think listeners are going to love about the album?
That is really hard to answer. I think people end up liking the songs you least expect them to. So there's this, the track that's doing the best. I mean, I don't know if you can count like streaming numbers as the ones which people are resonating with, but the one which so far is doing the best on the streaming platforms is a song called Surfer's Corner, which production-wise, I think it went in a direction that we were quite unsure of. We love Matthew Fink for everything he did, but there was, you know, there's some like claps that happened at the beginning, which we kept in the production meetings and like things we were, you know, you can, what edits are we wanting to make and pull out, or should we do this or that? Like, there's always the claps. Like, can we remove the claps? Please, can we remove the claps? The claps. Can we please remove the claps? But the claps are in. and so that it starts off with that, and I kind of always wonder whether people are going to hear that and then go and then, you know, change it to the next song. But that's the song which is doing the best as far as the streaming numbers go. I don't know. I don't know what do you think?
Just going back with that particular song, it's like when you're working with John, the previous engineer to leave, or the producer, he basically like just pulled out this keyboard and took the first sample, like literally the first, like,
yeah,
we're just getting ideas, production ideas, and we used that exact like sound in the final recording. And it was supposed to be just like this, you know, just a little sample of what we could use with the host of other options, you know.
Yeah, but it was like drop down.
And also, and the funny that the claps that Matthew put in, because he went down the rabbit hole with that track, and he was really like saying this, like, I'm loving this track. And we already had done three tracks prior, like some singles, but that it's like the you know, the old Casio, you know like a little kid's little toy keyboard with the claps. So anyway, so it certainly has been resonating with a lot of people. But I've actually been getting some feedback from friends about the album, saying that it's nice thing. It's quite like sort of really connect. It's got a very Cape Town flavor and feel. You know, it's got that which we try and portray and convey in the music. And also there's lots of, and we talk about, I mean, you get in the lyric, it's, you know, there's we reference quite a few of our favorite spots in Cape Town. And just to you know that the well, Cape Townians would know this, but so there's a place called Misty Cliffs in Cape Town.
I came across that when I was looking it up. I was there to myself, where did they get the name? And then I Googled it. And of course, the first thing that comes up is the place.
Yeah. So Misty Cliffs. But we
let's
are.
Let's get onto our SEO then.
Hey? We are the Misty Cliffs. It's been a huge difference. And we actually play. And the reason why we chose that name is because it's, you know, we just wanted to find something that would sort of link with our sound and resonate with our feel. And, you know, making it. And our first shows were, they call it the Deep South, which is what we term it, the term we refer to. We refer to the small southern suburbs of South Africa, of Cape Town. Also call it the over the Lentil Curtain. And so that's how our first show was in Scarborough, which is right next door to the Misty Cliffs. And that's kind of how the name came about. The sound is very, I mean, you basically can just want people to just feel the Cape Town flavor and vibe through the music, you know.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned shows there, because I'm going to have to start asking you some concert related questions. First off, we'll ease into it. As a concert goer, what concerts have made you?
So my first concert I ever went to, and I can still remember it, was in 1989. Phil Collins toured his, he'd written But Seriously, and then he toured Seriously Live, I think. And my parents took my brother and I to that show. And of course, I was probably 4 years old. So, because only now going back to it, my brother sent me one of the songs off the album, and he's like, just listen to the bass playing on this album. And I was like, wow, that is fucking amazing. And I was like, I knew that he'd worked quite a bit with Nathan East, and it sounded like Nathan East playing. So I was like, no, it must be Nathan East. And then I went and found the site that like showed all the session musicians that played on that album. And when I was doing that, I also thought maybe it could even be Pino Palladino. And then I saw Pino Palladino played on that album. Nathan East played on that album, but it was also Lee Sklar. Lee Sklar, and he did the live, the world tour with Phil Collins. So it was actually Lee Scott playing that. Those bass players, I just like absolutely love their playing. They're like incredible, like top of the industry, top of their game. So I'll say that one had like an effect on me much later in life, just listening through all those songs again. It was like a lot of people like slate Phil Collins. I think he's fucking amazing. And then Sting came. He's been twice to South Africa that I know of. And he did his 10 Summoners Tales tour in Sun City in 1993, I think, which I went to. And then he did a Back to Base tour, I think, in 2012 or 2013. And then again last year. So I've actually been to see him three times.
Oh man.
And he's like an idol of mine. So yeah, those definitely made me, to answer your question.
I have to say I'm a bit jealous now, especially Phil Collins. I was only saying the other week that he's on my list of people I'd love to have seen, and obviously will never get the chance to, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely incredible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. We talk about Sting, because, so I used to go a lot to this festival. It's much like sort of Edinburgh Festival in Grahamstown, town in Grahamstown.
And I used to go there.
Wakanda. I used to go. It's amazing. I mean, it's just literally like, you know, everything, theatre, music. And they've got a quite a big jazz scene going there, like a lot of some prominent jazz musicians and just a very nice eclectic mix of genres. And there's one particular band called Tananas. I don't know if you've heard of them. And
no.
It's a three-piece instrumental group. Well, they had Gito Valoya from Mozambique. He was the vocalist. And Ian Hurtman was the drummer. And I was just and my favorite guitarist, probably my favorite guitarist, who really influenced my playing initially. His name was Steve Newman. His name is Steve Newman. He's still around. And Gito, unfortunately, is not with us anymore. And Ian Herman is now one of the top session drummers in LA, I think, or in California. And that was just hugely inspiring. I mean, I just watched to see Steve playing. He plays an nylon string, like sort of flamenco style, and got a very African edge to his playing. Well, and the whole sound of the band, and that was a massive influence in, especially me starting up with my first project being Sons of Trout, because I was always playing classic. I was always a classical guitarist. I used to listen to metal, like Pantera,
right.
Practice classical, you know. I was into, like, I was the whole like thrash scene. I was like huge into that vibe, as well as the war, the sunset, you know, the Hollywood Sunset Strip stuff, like basically any shredders. I was into the shredding, you know? That's like practicing my classical guitar. But the biggest influence would be that particular going to Grahamstown and seeing Tananas for the first time. And then Nick was reflecting on when Sting came, and it might have been that time when he came in 93. He was playing at the Good Hope Center, and Tananas was opening for Sting. And it's just an interesting story, because so for some reason there was an issue with Sting's drummer at the time.
Vinny
Caliuto. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he was ill or something. So. And Sting still
had to go to rehab, dude. I think he had
kind of, like, you know, to say that he was just ill. He had a cold.
Family emergency. Family intervention.
Ian Herman ended up, Sting was so impressed with Tananas, the opening act. So he asked Ian Herman if, he would just come and do just a quick audition and check if he could, you know, come and play a couple of shows with Sting in wherever in Europe. And I think he went for an. I think Ian Herman only played like three tracks. He didn't go through. He did his homework, but he only did three tracks. And then Sting said, "Okay, fine, you got the gig." And then he went overseas and, made his career, and I mean his work, but you know, he was playing in. And I think they still carried on in South Africa as Tananas. But, I mean, just check them out. They're extraordinary, amazing. So I'm huge. Steve Newman's one of my, you know, complete idols and huge inspiration. For my particular style of, because I played, because Sons of Trout, I was playing a nylon string, flamenco in a Afro-pop band. And another amazing concert was I saw Crowded House, also at the Good Hope Center. The Good Hope Center is now just this white elephant that does nothing in Cape Town, but back then it was used a lot for concerts, and that was amazing. I saw got to see Crowded House, just because they're songwriting, and it was just an extraordinary concert. So fun memory. And also I went to watch, I saw basically they had two shows, and I watched both, because they sold out they had a sellout show, and then I watched the second one. And actually a friend, well, like an acquaintance, a guy called Yohav, who's a great, amazing singer, and Neil Finn asked anyone in the audience, like, "Hey guys, who wants to come sing this tune?"
Did you go?
No, I don't know. He did. You have went on stage.
Okay.
He basically went on stage, and then Wilson's looking at the going, "Okay, I must get the mic off this child." Me. But it was like probably like 19, you know. But but actually, this just countless. But I really like, I have a a strong bond with musicians and so that. There's another guy, Moritz Lotz. Moritz Lotz is like the, he is the Satriani Steve Vai of South Africa. And right. He was a big, he had an album out called Razor's Edge, but he was like just this shredder. He's still playing. I mean, I've actually played with him more recently, but that was like those getting to see him and, you know, but that's back in the day, you know, like the, when was that? Like, you know, late 90s, mid 90s, you know, when I obviously the local, yeah, local, amazing local performances, yeah.
And, you know, the moment we're all waiting for any listeners that haven't got one of your own shows, what are they like? Give us the full experience if you can.
Nicholas.
The full experience. We have found, I think, that we're not like, I don't know, you might not appreciate me saying this, Turner, but like my take on it is that we're not like a big stage. We're not like a, you know, we know our place. We're like not a 9 o'clock, like sort of main stage, like go crazy kind of band. We're very much like the kind of mid to late afternoon sunset, sort of feel good, like it, there's a bit of quirk, it's like it's entertaining, there's you know, there's some nice banter on stage, it's lighthearted music, like really great harmonies, and it the music that Nick writes is so diverse. There's like ska stuff sort of with reggae influences, there's the kind of singer-songwriter thing, some great like almost Prince style sort of, yeah, groove based tunes. There's some funk in there. I mean, there's Deep in the Valley is like, you know, another song which we play live, which isn't on the album, which is also a totally different feel. My Uncle Johnny comes on sometimes when he joins us on Dobro. And people get stretched like emotionally, you know, there's some very deep themes that we sing about and talk about. So there are those moments in the set where like you get drawn in and it's, you know, there's moments for reflection, but then there's also like groovy moments. And then the kind of harmony and stuff that's layered vocally on top of what Nick sings about also just adds like, just texture. So I think we've got a really cool show. And I mean, I was talking to somebody earlier today who was saying like, you know, what is it about music that like keeps you? Cause I've never been a professional musician myself, like fully. I mean, I'm like a full-time musician. I've my whole life had a kind of stable career in the IT hardware and software sector. I've always made time for music, and it's always been something that I've seen as something I'm going to do my whole life. And he was asking me like, what keeps you going? And I was just saying like, I see myself as a performing musician, and I'm quite terrified actually of being on stage, less so now, but I used to like go up on stage and be quite scared of it, but like just had this compulsion to be playing. Right. It's being in a group like this, which is musically very strong, with great songs, it's just such a pleasure to be doing this. You know, we're so fortunate to be able to do what we do, and that there's still venues, you know, and Kate, I don't know, Nick's traveled to Ireland before and he's, you know, been to the UK. I unfortunately haven't had the pleasure, but we are like lacking venues to be playing at, you know. They're obviously outdoor, there's some great outdoor festivals, there are still places that are supporting live musicians, but it's very difficult to make it a full-time living out of it. So personally, I just feel like I'm very fortunate to be able to do what I do. And don't know what else to add. Nicholas?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they're covered.
I digress slightly, I'm sorry.
the it's look, not every show is the same with us as well. I mean, we kind of, which we take pride in the fact that the songs are always slightly different each time, you know, it's like a fresh take on the songs. And just like, I mean, the one thing that is extraordinary and it just blows my mind at the time is working with, be able to work with, a rhythm section that, are, you know, the guys are brothers and working with extraordinary backing vocalists. And I mean, it's funny that we played a launch gig in the hometown with Mike, where Nick, I'm saying Mike, where Nick lives now. And I was your friend just, I don't know, but like, so that this girl goes, just basically like goes beeline straight from Nick and says like, Nick, you should sing more lead vocal. You should be doing more lead vocals. But anyway, I'm going, totally. I just want to play electric guitar, chill in the back. And I always say that I'm the weakest link when it comes to the vocals, but I'm working with, it's just amazing. It's like a visceral experience being able to work with, two brothers who are just so in sync on the rhythm side and on the vocal side. So that elevates the music quite a bit. And it's a special thing because I've in the past worked with, my solo career, I'm working with phenomenal musicians, but they don't sing. I mean, Uncle Johnny sings nicely, but it's just the next tier working with these guys, and I think that's a big focus in our sound as well. And there's a lot of vocal hooks, which is like something I never approached before. You know, it's not like we're all just singing harmonies and phrasing with me. There's like juxtaposed, answer call stuff, and it's just, yeah. And we really like we deep dive into that sort of production and flavor. And there's also this nice eclectic, genres that we go through. So it's, you know, it's why we're not just like sticking to a certain feel and sound. You know, we try and keep the, surprise the audience a bit.
I like it.
But as Nick said, it is more like a, I'm getting more used to playing. I prefer playing like the late afternoon. That's our perfect sort of time, to late afternoon slot, sunset vibe. That's our.
Nice. And when it comes to showtime, then what's your pre-show and your post-show? How do you psych yourselves up, and then how do you wind down afterwards?
Well, in this band, there's like teetotalers in the band, so there's no one. Both Nick and Matt don't indulge. Well, I might know Nick used to, but like, not that like you got to be, drinking and all that before a gig, getting totally hammered. But I mean, in the past, I've had like a whiskey has like sort of kept me sane and kept me calm, leading up to a show. They will know. I mean, they know full well like my behavior prior to gigs. I tend to have this lyric issue. I forget.
That's so funny, man.
It's going through the lyric panic again, and so basically, I go with this panic, a complete panic. Like, oh Jesus, like,
his pupils are slightly more dilated, and he kind of comes up to you like, oh shit! How does this song go? How does that song go?
This one line. So my approach is Nick and Matt. I mean, they've got a very calm demeanor and vibe prior to shows, but I kind of tend to, although I've calmed down a bit, I think the more, because these songs are quite fresh as well. But I tend to panic slightly too much. I need to work on my pre-gig vibe. But then post-gig vibe, then I just go to the bar and take all, because these guys don't drink, so I go to the bar.
He takes the tab.
That's my approach.
And Nick, his post, so, after a gig's done, usually, you hang out with the audience for a bit, okay, to people, and then you do the kind of responsible musician thing where you go, you thank the sound engineer, go to stage, start winding your cables. We don't have roadies, whatever. We like taking care of our gear. So put all your shit together, get it off the stage so the engineer can then come and strike and take all his cables out and do what he's got to do. So I've taken photos of this for evidence so that I can just send it to Nick, like, after we've left. But you'll go to stage and it'll be bare. The engineer has like worked his way around, and there's Nick's guitar on his stand, and his amp is still on with full flashing lights on his pedal board. And that's it. So Nick, that's his after gig thing, is to totally forget about his instruments and his responsibilities.
No, engage the audience. You got to meet your audience. It's we just get on so well. It's such a good vibe with the, you know, three of us. So we, I mean, prior to if we're traveling somewhere, or there's always a good solid support, you know, and all respect each other. So it always feels good going on, you know, prior to the gig, despite my lyrical panics and all that stuff. It's just a seamless process, you know. Like in other bands, so much bickering. But obviously, you know, it's reduced over the years. But just recalling, you know, even my prior bands, like Sons of Trout, I mean, the amount of like issues and problems we have, you know, like, but that's like, that's when you're touring a lot, you know, when you're getting tired and sick of each other. It's just magic working with these guys, these brothers, my brothers, other mothers, other mothers.
Do you ever think to yourself there better not be any disagreements or anything? Because obviously they're both brothers, so it'll kick you out.
It's not a drum and bass band, bro.
Eventually they're going to go, okay, listen, Nick's voice is not that great. Turn his voice, And I'll go back to my solo career and just sing, be a crooner like Bob Dylan, you know.
Right.
Yeah. No, Nick is a very highly sought-after collaborator in the scene. He's obviously built up like an amazing, like range of connections with musicians from all over. So, you'll never end up playing solo in a bar, sad and lonely, I can assure you.
No, I did last night. Yesterday we actually did. I did it. Well, that wasn't too obviously sad and lonely, but I was with my friend Skulk. We played actually because it was St. Paddy's Day, so we actually belted our two Irish numbers.
Right. One being
Danny Boy. Well, actually, there was actually an opera singer there that ended up singing it with us. And then we did the With or Without You. Just celebrating the St. Paddy's Day. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Are you two frowned upon in their home country? Are you two frowned? How are they seen in Ireland?
It's weird. There's a love for you two and their music, but there's an unbelievable hatred for Bono.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's a universal thing. I mean,
yeah. It's like, oh, not this guy again.
He's just annoying. Oh.
Yeah.
Keep his mouth open.
Saying that now, I'd say their gigs in Vegas were unbelievable in that dome.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I heard it was absolutely incredible. Like, also with the screens, turned like into a cube, and apparently like people started freaking out because it was like changing shape, and people felt like their chairs were falling over, and
quite
amazing.
And before we dive into the last couple of questions, then, future plans that are set in stone, music videos, music gigs?
Nicholas?
We've got a really cool show coming up on the 29th, or two shows, 29th and 30th of this month. There's an amazing band from Zimbabwe who are touring here called Flying Bantu. So we're stoked to be joining them at Daisy Jones Bar in Stellenbosch, and then Commons in Musenberg on the Saturday. Those are coming up thick and fast, so super looking forward to them. Flying Bantu are amazing. There's also Face Jackson, or the other band, joining on that lineup, so I don't know too much about them. I've seen a couple of their songs online, but they look really cool. Sort of like surf rock vibes. And we are hoping to do a recording with Flying Bantu. There's some chats with their management to see if we can quickly squeeze in a song while they're here, which would be really, really cool. And then we're part of a group of musicians who were asked to record a Christmas album a couple of years ago with the label that we're signed with. And so the last couple of years, we've actually done a run of Christmas shows leading up sort of the 22nd, 23rd, 24th. And it's been really successful. We've had, just such a good response, amazing turnouts. I think there were at a fairly small like restaurant complex we played at this year, there were like over 1,000 people like who bought tickets over the 3 days, which was super cool. And it's a wonderful family vibe, like people, doing like a snake, running, walking through everybody, just like going crazy. It's like proper Cape Town Christmas. And they want to add some more songs to that album this year. So it sounds like we're planning to do some recording in June, July. So I wouldn't say it's rock solid yet, but I know that there will be some recording there coming up. And we want to do some more recording, like start getting some of that material out.
We originally were toying with the idea of doing a double album because we had so many songs. So we have got about, 8-9 tracks. We just need to work on them, could add to, another album. But apart from all the gigs, as Nick mentioned and I mentioned earlier, is that we are dropping this on the 6th of April, 5th of April. We are putting out our video of that song, of the, and our next single, which is Screen Savior, a song about my phone. Where's my phone? No, it's one of those panic. I think I'll be playing at House of Machines, another spot. On the 11th of May.
We've got a show in May. But because we are all so widely dispersed, we need to. the band is in this like triangle with like Cape Town, McGregor, and Feltriff on the west coast. So we're all like at least 2 to 2.5 hours apart at the moment. Trying to find time, we kind of just have to we have to condense it, all of our rehearsals and gigs into as much, close period as possible. So unfortunately, we don't have the luxury that we had a few years back of being able to rehearse 3 times a week from 9 till 12.
Yeah. What way do you guys approach that then? Because you're so far apart for rehearsals. Do you do it once a month or?
If we've got shows coming up, we'll definitely do, we'll try and get at least 2 solid rehearsals in before. And anytime either myself or Matt are coming into town for other responsibilities we might have, we'll connect and just be like, can we slip a rehearsal in the morning? Sometimes we've got to drive in, rehearse for 3 hours and drive back. So if Matt has to come into town, and he's available, then I'll come in and we'll rehearse, and we all love it so much, and actually it's really healthy to get out of town, get on the road, go and do something different.
Right. We'll dive into the last couple. These are a few random silly fun questions, but I'm intrigued to see your answers. First off, what are you guys currently obsessed with? It can be a book, a TV show, anything at all.
Well, I mean, as a musician, I'm obsessed with a South African musician called Mandisi Jantjies. And I've been just can't stop listening to his music. And he actually, he's interesting take because he's been becoming a huge success in South Africa. He actually sings old almost, I want to say nursery rhymes, but he sings songs. But jazz, it's jazz. And he's got this like beautiful velvet voice, and he's singing in closer. But he sings like he's singing basically songs that his that your grandmother would have sung. So that's why everyone, you go to his concerts, everyone's singing these songs so beautifully as well. And he comes from a culture, the stooped in that world. And it's just that's something that really has, that's something that I'm obsessed with. I'm also obsessed with Rick Rubin's latest book, The Creative Act, which has been, funny enough, I don't know if you know the book. No. Rick Rubin,
yeah.
The producer. So he's got a book now, just like sort of his philosophy on, and it's just, that's not really, you could open the book on any page and read it. And his ideas of how to just get creative and what creativity is. And it's just fascinating. It's just like opened my mind he talks about it always being present. Like there's, you just got to sit and listen and you're going to get, it's all there. It's like, and that's been quite a journey. And actually who introduced me to it was Nick and Matt's uncle, Johnny. He told me on a road trip to, I think it was to McGregor, he told me where Nick lives. And he was guesting actually on the Mystic Cliffs album launch. And so he told me about that. So that's, there are other things I'm obsessed with. But those things those two I could think of right now.
Right.
Are you obsessed with me? And apart from me, what else are you obsessed with?
Interestingly, Rick Rubin's been popping up in my YouTube feed. I don't know if he's been doing, if it's a recent book release, then maybe he's been doing some interviews, punting it. I've seen a couple of things recently which I've watched. I just love how he speaks. He's so candid and, he's just like, seems like a, could be a really amazing mentor. And on Mandisi Giant, he's also heard, I just saw the jazz festival lineup, and he's one of the headliners at the International Jazz, Cape Town Jazz Festival. I mean, this is really stupid, but I have, and I think it's on a level quite unhealthy, but I have this like, especially this year, I follow Liverpool Football Club, like it's for my sins. So just this year, Jurgen Klopp, the manager, has decided to leave the club after whatever 9 years he's been managing the club. And there's just like, it's just a really unusual energy around the club at the moment, and the supporters and the whole, it's just been a really interesting, amazing, unpredictable season. And it's just like, so I've been getting pretty like, I've tried, like, cause some of the news feeds that, and people that talk about football, it's really unhealthy and should stay very clear of all of that noise. Cause there's just way too much hype, and it's a complete soap opera. I mean, the whole Premier League or everything about football is really, it's ridiculous actually, cause it all resets after every year and you just carry on, start again from zero. But yeah, I think that's my one unhealthy obsession recently. Yeah,
Matt as well. They both got that obsession. They start talking Liverpool, I'm like yawning. I also got an obsession with tennis, so I start dropping the tennis vibe.
Yeah,
They're not that excited about that.
Right.
Well, I mean, we enjoy the tennis.
the next one, so. If you had to spend 24 hours locked in a room with any musician from history, who would it be?
Well,
I would say Sting, but he's an arsehole.
I was going to say, the thing is, that's the problem. You're going to go, I would say Miles Davis, but I think he was an arsehole as well.
I'm probably going to say Paul McCartney.
Good choice.
Good choice.
Yeah. I just think from all angles, just longevity, just incredible, just like just the most prolific songwriter. And you know, he had some dry spells which he had to get through. But just some of the bass lines he created, the music that stood the test of time. Yeah, I think Paul McCartney would be a good one. Yeah.
Sure. I would say Prince.
Another good one.
Yeah, fuck. Good call.
Mm. But yeah, it's fascinating. Have you seen this documentary that's come out called The Greatest Night in Pop?
No, I keep meaning to watch it.
Oh man, it's great.
It's just fascinating. We look at, like, you know, all the different these characters, these phenomenal icons of the music scene. It's quite a different world then, you know, like to what it is now. And Tina Turner, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, you know. But the interesting thing that Sting, I mean, sorry, not Sting. No, Sting wasn't. It was all American artists. American, but yeah. But Prince, they even got Sheila E. there. I mean, we'll watch it, but Sheila E. was a member of Prince's band, and she was promised certain things, and like she would sing a line, but they all basically was trying to use her to get Prince there. But Prince never ended up coming at all. I think he said, "Can I play like a guitar solo in another room?" And Quincy Jones said no. So, but he never. But I have this obsession with Prince. And last night I was having this huge debate. We had that debate, which everyone has. You know, you get the Stones Beatles debate, but you also get the
Michael Jackson's
Prince debate.
Right.
But I was Michael doesn't play any instruments. Prince would be the guy. He's just such a fascinating human being. And he's got both of them have this aura about them, and he's just a fascinating. I know what he knows about. I mean, you don't get to see a lot of interviews with Prince, you know, so he's very like quiet person. And he's probably the guy. And I've always been, and Nick and Matt know that I'm quite obsessed with, especially the guitarist, as a guitarist, never mind he's the 27 other instruments he plays.
Yeah, I like it. The final one, so what's your go-to album?
Go-to album? Depends on the, you know, it depends what the mood I'm in, but yeah. There's
a cool... Tales for me, sorry.
Yeah.
It's a Sting, his album from like 92 or 93. It's the album I've listened to most in my life, like by far. So it always, I think it reminds me of my dad a lot. He kind of introduced us, my brother and I, to Sting. And he loved that album. It was always playing in our house. So yeah, I always go back to it.
Sure.
Nice.
I'm trying to think of, there's so many. I mean, there's one album that I really like, which is it's a guy called Ernest Ranglin. He's a guitarist, but he's got, it's like Jamaican jazz. It's almost like reggae jazz, and he actually taught Bob Marley how to play guitar. And he's got an album called Below the Bassline, but it's like it's groovy, jazzy reggae. And it's not, there's not any vocals, but I've always I've just been obsessed with that album. I don't know if you know it.
No.
That's a great, yeah, great album. Sure. But I don't know. I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously there's the Dark Side of the Moon, a big favorite of mine. I mean, I actually got to see, Roger Waters performing at Madison Square Gardens, and he did the first set was his own stuff, and then the second set he did the whole album note for note, and Nick Mason actually came and played Piesta on drums. Yeah, and that was just, but that always pops up, you know, that album.
Rumors as well, Fleetwood Mac would be a close.
There we go.
It's cool as well.
Totally. Yeah. White album. Yeah.
Goes without saying.
Obvious ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice picks there. Listen, guys, it's been an absolute blast now. I've really enjoyed the last hour.
Amazing. Thank you so much, bro. That's a great catch up and chat. And
cruising down through my city, headed to the waves of truth. World's a wonder, it's so pretty. Marvel at the sparkling view. Thoughts on who we meant to be. Come rolling, don't complicate it, let it go. Don't complicate it, let those clouds come rolling. Don't complicate it. Don't complicate it, let those clouds come rolling, rolling. Don't complicate it. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Don't complicate it, let those clouds come rolling.
Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify. And if you're interested in signing up to Bandbuilder Academy, use the link in the show notes below and enter the code CONCERTS and you'll receive 10% off. So, until next time, keep rocking!
Hey! Hey, what are you guys still doing here? The show is over. It's over. You can go home. Go on. We'll see you next time. We'll be here.